You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. And we are back. It is game day. No victory Monday here yet. Hopefully we're going for a victory Tuesday. But the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs squaring off on Monday Night Football. And I mean, look, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this game. This is honestly going to be one of the best matchups of the entire season. Even through all 17 weeks, this matchup will be remembered. And it's such an early season defining game where the Ravens have lost back-to-back years, right? They've lost back-to-back years at Arrowhead. They want this game really badly, but that doesn't mean the Chiefs are going to just give it to them. Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs are here and they're ready to play. So the Ravens are going to have to play really, really hard to get this W. And you know, we've kind of gone through everything. We've talked with Cole. We've talked with Spencer. We've talked with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs, and we've talked with Mathieu. We've done a lot to preview this game. So I know that, you know, previewing this game, we've already done it a lot. But, you know, it's still good to go back over and just kind of in a short summary, digest everything, kind of go through everything that the Ravens have to do on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball to win this football game. Because, look, they have the opportunity to go out there and start 3-0 and get season statement wins, three season statement wins against the Cleveland Browns team that is, frankly, a lot better than they were and have been over the last few years. They are talented, and I still think they're going to make the playoffs. Maybe as a 7 seed. They're going to be a wild card team. Obviously, I think the Ravens are going to win the AFC North, but against the Cleveland Browns team, this much improved. Against the Houston Texans, which, yes, they have holes, but you can't sleep on Deshaun Watson. And then hopefully in week 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champion. So here in the first segment, we'll talk about the Ravens offense versus the Chiefs defense, getting into what Lamar Jackson has to do and what the rest of the Ravens playmakers need to do to beat this Kansas City defense. Then in the second segment, talking about Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City offense against that Ravens defense, and a very different Ravens defense, as we talked about all last week, than the previous two seasons when the Ravens took on Kansas City. And then finally, as we usually do here on Mondays, we're going to be getting into our scores around the league from week 3. Obviously, the Ravens, the only team not to play. The Ravens are the Chiefs, the only teams not to play. So we will go through the rest of the AFC North. We'll go through the rest of the AFC and talk about some standings a bit. So we have a lot to jump into. Let's jump into it all here on a very, very exciting game day here. But before we do that, you have to be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. If you have a friend or a family member, or you know somebody who's a Ravens fan or who wants Ravens content 5 days a week, be sure to throw them our way. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to jump in here and talk about this Lamar Jackson-led Ravens offense against the Kansas City defense. And this is a matchup. You know, everybody's going to be talking about Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. The Ravens offense and the Chiefs offense going head-to-head. But honestly, the Ravens offense against the Chiefs defense is very, very key. And obviously, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, duh, that's how the Ravens are going to score points. Well, yes, but also there are so many other things that go into an offense winning the football game. Something I've talked about literally all last week, and I'll talk about it here right now again. You have to win the time of possession battle to have a shot against the Kansas City Chiefs. Baltimore in 2019, again, they won that possession battle by over 5 minutes and still lost the game. Now, that can be attributed to them digging themselves into a hole early in that game. They really dug themselves into an early hole, giving up 23 points in the second quarter. They were down 23-6 going into the half. And then they stormed back in the fourth. They scored 15 points to the Chiefs 3, but ultimately it was not enough. Let's take this into account. The Ravens have lost to the Chiefs in back-to-back years, right? 2018, 2019, two pretty heartbreaking losses. But they've lost those games by a combined 8 points. Not 80 points, not 18 points, 8 points. Single digits, one possession in 2 years. That's huge. The Ravens offense has stuck with the Chiefs offense, and they've been doing it by beating the Chiefs defense. Now, I don't want to read too much into the 2018 game, because Lamar Jackson, a very different player than he is now. Patrick Mahomes, a very different player. Both these teams are very different than they were in 2018. But you have to look at this game. Lamar Jackson, 13-24 for 147 yards. Gus Edwards was the leading rusher. He was the guy over the back half of that 2018 season. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 53 times. Completed 35 of those passes, 377 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Let's go to 2019 and look at Patrick Mahomes' stats. 27-37, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns. So on about a little under 20 less throws, Patrick Mahomes threw for 3 less yards. You know, that's just efficiency on the part of Patrick Mahomes, and we'll get into that in the second segment with the defense. But Lamar Jackson from 2018 to 2019, I mentioned 13-24, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns. In 2019, 22-43 for 267 yards, no scores. So Lamar Jackson is going to have to be a better passer in order to win this game, and he is a better passer. He showed throughout the first 2 weeks that he can throw this football with the best of them. Now, it's been a process. Lamar Jackson's always had what it takes. He showed his arm off in college. He has the deep ball strength. He needed to improve on the deep ball accuracy, and so far we've seen that. I do expect the Ravens to test the Chiefs deep. But a question I've been getting and a question I want to kind of address here is, let's move to the running game. And how is this running attack, the rushing attack for Baltimore, going to look here? Because there are plenty of ways it could look. First of all, it depends on who's active. Do the Ravens activate 4 running backs and leave Justice Hill out there alongside Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards? And you could split it up as 1 quarter for literally each running back. Honestly, I don't think so. I think Baltimore wants depth at other positions. I think it's been telling that Otara Alaka has been active as that inside linebacker. They've been having 5 active inside linebackers on the field. And with the injury to Tavon Young, now, I don't know what the actual roster decision is going to be. This episode is being recorded before then, but we'll get into who I think is going to be replacing Tavon Young on the active roster in the second segment. But all in all, the Ravens are going to have everybody available except for Tavon Young. Everybody's going to be available. I think Mark Ingram is going to be a big part of the Ravens rushing offense for at least the first half of the season, and honestly, throughout the whole year. He's a big part of what they do. He's a veteran. He knows the system. But as this year goes on, I would sadly, and I say this sadly because they're also talented, expect Gus Edwards to kind of lose his share of the backfield to J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins, you know, is too talented of a player to not put out there. And I say again, sadly, not because J.K. Dobbins gets more touches. I love J.K. Dobbins. I love what he brings to the field. He's a versatile back. He's powerful. He's shifty. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But what does this mean for the Ravens in Week 3 against Kansas City Chiefs? Well, I still think J.K. Dobbins is going to get opportunities, but ultimately, the Ravens are going to ride the hot hand. That's what they're going to do. Doesn't matter if it's Mark Ingram, it doesn't matter if it's Gus Edwards, it doesn't matter if it's J.K. Dobbins, the Ravens are going to ride the hot hand because they know that whoever isn't getting touches, they can put that back in the fourth quarter against the gas defense and just run the ball down their throats, and that's where the time of possession battle comes in, you know, really, really big. But a big matchup again, and something I talked about last week as well, is how are the Ravens' interior offensive linemen going to hold up against the Chiefs' front four? Now, you're probably going to have Frank Clark out there against Orlando Brown Jr. That's what I'd expect. The Chiefs do have a bit of a loss on the front four with Alex Okafor, who's a pretty good defensive end. He is out with an injury. So the Ravens catch a break there, but you cannot forget about Chris Jones. He is somebody I wanted in a Ravens uniform. Ultimately, he signed an extension with the Kansas City Chiefs, but here you have it. A guy who was among the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL can absolutely just dominate a game. He can take on double teams and split double teams. He can bat passes at the line. He can plug the run game. He can rush the passer. He can get sacks. He is somebody who has caused the Ravens issues in recent years, but really hasn't shown up on the stat sheet as much as you would want. Has 7 tackles and 1.5 sacks. Now, that's obviously very good for an interior defensive lineman, But, you know, he's a guy who you have to account for on every single play. Same with Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu is by far the heart and soul of that defense. 13 total tackles for him. And Legarius Sneed, somebody who's been filling in for Breshad Breeland, who's suspended for the first four games, and Chavarius Ward, who has a hand injury, and he is questionable to play. I think I do expect him to play. However, they might just cast that thing up and throw him out there. But you have to look at this as an opportunity for Baltimore to expose a relatively weak Chiefs defense, all things considered. Yes, Tyrann Mathieu, Legarius Sneed, and Chris Jones are the three guys you want to look out for. Frank Clark is the fourth guy. But obviously, I think Baltimore has the offensive firepower to go out there and score points. They've done it with less talent on their offense. I'll say that. By less talent, I mean Lamar Jackson, who's not Lamar Jackson today. Not a four-headed rushing monster, or even if it's a three-headed rushing monster, I still would take the J.K. Dobbins aspect of that. An improved and healthy Marquise Brown, an improved Miles Boykin, a veteran Willie Snead. Yes, the offensive line you can arguably say is worse, but I think that the Chiefs' defense is the weakness here because I think Baltimore's defense is solid, and obviously the two offenses are elite. So I look at the Chiefs' defense as the weakness that the Ravens have to exploit. They have to continually put points up on the board in order to beat this Chiefs team, and I fully expect them to do so. We're going to head into our first break here, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about the Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs offense versus that Ravens defense, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need when it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. And we are back with our second segment of this game day edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still talking with you here. We got a good one coming up on Monday night. It is the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to M&T Bank Stadium to take on the Baltimore Ravens. And we talked about that offense for the Ravens against the Chiefs defense. But now let's flip that field and talk about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense against the Ravens defense. And really on this side of the ball, or on both sides of the ball here for me, the Chiefs offense and the Ravens defense, this is a tale of guys who missed last year's game. For the Chiefs, there was no Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs. There was no Eric Fisher, who's a good tackle for the Chiefs. Those are two big losses on the Chiefs side of the ball. But where I want to focus my efforts here is just talking about what the Ravens had on their defense. Just talking about who was on this team, who was getting significant snaps. And I know I kind of hammered this point home last week, but I really want to talk about it because it is an underappreciated fact that this defense has improved so much in the past year. And it is now, I think, much more equipped, not just to beat, you know, NFL teams, but to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Now let's talk about this. In the 2019 game, week three, where the Ravens lost 33-28, Tony Jefferson, Patrick Owusu, and Kenny Young were the leading tacklers with 7 apiece. That's crazy because none of those guys, none of them are still on the Ravens roster. And honestly, unfortunately, if you look at what each of those players brought to the table for Baltimore in 2019, they were all liabilities in a different way. Tony Jefferson, I don't think was used right throughout his entire career in Baltimore. So he was not playing that box safety role that I think he should have been playing. They put him in there and did some stuff with him in that role. Just I don't think they did enough with him up in the box. Patrick Owusu, great 2018 next to CJ Mosley. Became the guy in 2019 as the inside linebacker and really did not do anything, struggled in coverage, struggled to pick up, you know, communication duties. It was tough for Patrick Owusu for the Ravens in 2019. Finally, Kenny Young. We all know the story with Kenny Young, a promising young linebacker out of UCLA. Really was thought to be, you know, this coverage machine, sideline to sideline speed, but really did not look great. You know, was missing gaps, shooting the wrong gaps, not being able to cover. A lot of different, you know, young linebacker mistakes, but ultimately the Ravens did not see the value in keeping him on the roster and shipped him off to the Los Angeles Rams and the Marcus Peters deal. So what a deal for them. But now you replace those guys with Chuck Clark, who actually did play in the Kansas City game and was the second leading tackler with six. And then you have Patrick Queen and LJ Fort alongside Malik Harrison as well. But then you have Marlon Humphrey and Earl Thomas, who had five tackles apiece. So you look at Earl Thomas, who's no longer with the Ravens, and Deshaun Elliott, who has been a pretty decent replacement for him. He hasn't got himself caught up in a lot of big gains. He's been very stout against the run, you know, big hits against Kareem Hunt. I love his anticipation and his aggressiveness. He's done those two things very, very well. And look, you can't expect perfection from this guy. He's still learning. He's still a young safety. So I love what I see from Deshaun Elliott so far. But other guys who are not on this defense anymore, who are not in Ravens uniforms anymore, who did play in Kansas City, include guys like Brandon Carr, who had four tackles, Michael Pierce, who had four tackles, Maurice Kennedy, who had three tackles. And this game could have been extremely different, because in this game, Brandon Carr actually intercepted a pass right in Chiefs territory. I think it was around the Chiefs red zone, and there was a pass interference call on Tony Jefferson. First down, Chiefs. The Chiefs put points up on the board. That's a huge momentum swing. You also remember the Marlon Humphrey fruit punch in the first quarter. If you remember, Anthony Averett was right in front of the ball to fall on it and just literally dove over the ball. The Chiefs recover. And really, that was a tone setter, because the Ravens did not force the turnover. They did not get the ball in good territory. That was big. Those two plays were very big. But again, going back to my original point, Brandon Carr, Michael Pierce, Maurice Kennedy, Justin Bethel had a tackle. Chris Wormley was on the stat sheet. There was a lot of guys on that defense who did not contribute, you know, greatly to the success of the team in 2019. Now, Brandon Carr was decent. Not great, but decent in 2019 for the Ravens. Michael Pierce, again, decent, but I think him and Brandon Williams kind of offset each other. Maurice Kennedy was gone by week 6. I forget what week he got cut, but he had that Auden Tate game and he was gone. He signed with the Jets later on. Chris Wormley was okay, not spectacular. You replace all those guys with Calais Campbell, with Derek Wolfe, with Broderick Washington, Justin Madubuike. I mentioned Fort and Harrison and Queen. A big, big thing for the Ravens, though, is Jimmy Smith did not play in this game in week 3. Marcus Peters was not on the team in week 3, so the Ravens were rolling with Marlon Humphrey, Brandon Carr, Maurice Kennedy, Justin Bethel, and Anthony Averett as their guys at corner. That doesn't sound promising when you have to go up against Patrick Mahomes, who can literally just tear you apart. And it's been the weakness of this Ravens defense. It's been the weakness of Patrick Mahomes going for over 370. You know, if Patrick Mahomes, if you can hold Patrick Mahomes to even 300 yards, if that's the maximum number you allow, I think the Ravens are still in good shape to win the game. Now, this defense as it is now, even with the loss of Tavon Young, I can fully expect them to hold Mahomes under 250. But the reality of it is, this Chiefs offense is not as run-oriented as Baltimore, so you're going to see Mahomes drop back a lot. You're going to see him drop back 40, 45 times. I'd expect that. So the Ravens secondary has to be tight. They have to get good contributions out of their slot guys, whoever it's going to be, whether Marlon Humphrey plays in there. I did mention, I would say, who I think the Ravens are going to bring up off the practice squad for this game, because Tavon Young, as it stands right now, this episode is being recorded before the move comes out. But I think that the Ravens are going to bring up Terrell Bonds. There's been, you know, kind of rumblings on Ravens socials, Raven players socials, that he is going to be the guy called up. Terrell Bonds, he's been in the Ravens system for a few years. He knows the system. I think this is honestly a slam dunk. You know, you don't have to expect him to play too much off the bat, but you can put him in situations where he can succeed. But the Ravens have to make sure that they don't give Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense second opportunities. You know, I am completely right if, you know, the Chiefs drive down the field, score a touchdown, you know, they kind of ease their way down there. You give up the 7, whatever, there are no penalties. But if you're in a 3rd-and-7 situation and you have a great defensive play, but there's a pass interference or there's a defensive holding and there's an offsides, and you give the Chiefs an extra opportunity, then that 7, they just ran down the field and scored. You stop them to get your offense the ball back on the next possession for the Chiefs offense. but then you give them another opportunity to go and score. You cannot give Patrick Mahomes second and third chances. You also cannot give him time in the pocket. We saw the Los Angeles Chargers last week get pressure on Patrick Mahomes with four guys. The Ravens, I don't think, have the defensive front to do that, unfortunately, as much as they've improved on their front four. What they're going to have to do is scheme up blitzes that make Patrick Mahomes get out of the pocket, and he can still tear you up from out of the pocket, but that is honestly better than have him just sitting in there for 3, 4, 5 seconds. It's too much time. You have to get pressure on him or he will pick the defense apart. You also have to cover Travis Kelce. That's the last point I'll make here before we head into our second break. Travis Kelce has eaten the Ravens alive over these past two games. In 2019, 7 receptions for 89 yards, and in 2018, he had a monster game, was just really just running all over the field doing whatever he wanted. He ended up having 7 receptions for 77 yards and 1 touchdown. So in those two games, you allowed Travis Kelce to get over 150 on 15 receptions. That is not the formula for success. You have to take him out of the game. I don't know what the Ravens are going to have to do, whether you box him in, but that leaves Tyreek Hill open. So how are you going to defend Tyreek Hill? Patrick Queen is going to be a huge, huge, huge X factor in this game. You have to look at him. You have to be able to cover tight ends. The Ravens have not been good at it over the first two games. They've struggled with it for years, but hopefully Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison and LJ Fort, and you know, even the safeties like Chuck Clark and Jimmy Smith, if he plays back there, will do their job. And you know, if you can limit Travis Kelce to 50, 60 yards, I am content with that. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about the scores around the AFC and standings throughout the AFC, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They're healthy. They're great for the health conscious person because you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And we are back with our final segment of this game day edition of Locked On Ravens here on Monday. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. We previewed the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens set to take place tonight. But what we're going to get into now is the rest of the scores throughout the AFC. Now, there are some teams who are 3-0 who probably shouldn't be 3-0 or aren't as good as 3-0. There are some teams who are 0-3 who probably are a little better than 0-3 and might not deserve to be 0-3. So we'll get into all the AFC scores and then talk a bit about the AFC North and the standings there, pending, of course, the Ravens game tonight. So let's start on Thursday night, where the Miami Dolphins were able to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars by the final score of 31-13. Both teams moved to 1-2. The Dolphins coming in were 0-2, the Jaguars 1-1. Ryan Fitzpatrick, where the beard got the better of the stash, 18 of 20 for 160 yards and 2 scores. Whereas for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gardner Minshew completed 30 of 42 passes for 275 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. Then moving into Sunday's games, the Cleveland Browns beating the Washington football team 34-20. The Browns move to 2-1 while the football team falls to 1-2. Dwayne Haskins, rough game, 21 to 37 for 224 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. They play the Baltimore Ravens next week at home, so the Ravens will be traveling to Landover to play Washington. For the Browns, Baker Mayfield, 16 to 23 for 156 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, both getting over 10 carries. Nick Chubb with 19, Kareem Hunt with 16. Chubb carried for 108 yards and 2 scores, while Hunt carried for 46. Moving on, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Philadelphia Eagles tying 23-23. There's some weird tie in the AFC North every year, it seems like. The Browns had it last year. The Bengals have it this year. The Eagles did not look great, but Joe Burrow got it done to get the tie despite being behind a rather, you know, I'll say it nicely, in shambles offensive line. Joe Burrow, 31 of 44, 312 yards, 2 scores. Joe Mixon, only a 2.9 yards per carry average. For the Eagles, Carson Wentz, 29 of 47 for 225 yards, 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. It seems less and less likely that Wentz is the answer for Philadelphia. Moving on, the New England Patriots beating the Las Vegas Raiders 36-20. Both teams moved to 2-1, the Patriots from 1-1 and the Raiders from 2-0. Derek Carr, 24-32 for 264 yards, two touchdowns, while Josh Jacobs had 16 carries for 71 yards for the Patriots. Cam Newton, 17-28 for 162 yards, one touchdown and one interception, while Sony Michel on nine carries racked up 117 yards. Moving on to Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills blew a 28-3 lead, but ended up winning anyway, 35-32 on a very controversial call at the end of the game. Jared Goff, 23-32 for 321 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, while Josh Allen threw four touchdowns of his own, 24-33 for 311 yards, those four touchdowns and one interception. The Buffalo Bills moved to 3-0 on the year. Another team moving to 3-0 is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They beat the Houston Texans 28-21. The Texans fall to 0-3 after just a brutal first three games where they had to face the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, and finally the Pittsburgh Steelers. Deshaun Watson, 19-27 for 264 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Ben Roethlisberger, 23-36 for 237 yards, two touchdowns, while James Conner had 18 carries for 109 yards and a score. Then we go on to Minnesota, where the Tennessee Titans beat the Minnesota Vikings 31-30. The Titans are off to a quick 3-0 start, while the Vikings fall to 0-3. Ryan Tannehill, 23-37 for 321 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Derrick Henry, 26 carries for 119 yards, two scores. Steven Gostkowski kicking six field goals for the Titans in their victory. For the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, 16-27 for 251 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions, while Dalvin Cook averaged 8.2 yards per carry on 22 carries. That's 181 yards and a score for Dalvin Cook. The Los Angeles Chargers falling to the Carolina Panthers, 21-16. Both teams moved to 1-2. The Panthers from 0-2 and the Chargers from 1-1. Teddy Bridgewater for the Panthers, 22 of 28 for 235 yards, one touchdown. While for the Chargers, Justin Herbert, after a small injury scare, ended up going 35 of 49 for 330 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Looking pretty good as a rookie who wasn't expected to contribute early. The Indianapolis Colts manhandled the New York Jets 36-7. The Colts move to 2-1 while the Jets fall to 0-3. Sam Darnold looking less and less like the answer in New York, while he completed 17-29 passes for 168 yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions. While Phillip Rivers went 17-21 for 217 yards and one touchdown before being replaced by Jacoby Brissett late in the game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat a beat-up Denver squad 28-10. The Buccaneers move to 2-1 while the Broncos fall to 0-3. Tom Brady, 25-38 for 297 yards, three scores, while Jeff Driscoll went 17-30 for 176 yards, one touchdown and one interception, and Brent Rypien went 8 of 9 for 53 yards and an interception. Those are all the scores throughout the AFC in Week 3, pending that Chiefs-Ravens game. But looking at the AFC North in particular, I mean, there are a lot of teams throughout the entire NFL who I personally feel are worse than their 3-0 record or better than their 0-3 record. Two teams who I think are better than their 0-3 record, that is the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. Houston just got off to a horrible start schedule-wise. The schedule gods scheduled three crazy tough games early, and it's really killed the morale of this team, but you can't cut out Deshaun Watson. And the Denver Broncos have just been hit with injury after injury after injury. And this is a team that I predicted to get the sixth seed, and I'm probably looking pretty wrong there. You know, you can never predict the injuries in this league, but Denver right now, I think they're better than their 0-3 record, but how good can they be with all the injuries? Teams who I think are a little worse than their record right now, I try to make this not biased, and this is not biased. I seriously do not think the Tennessee Titans are a 3-0 team. They've squeaked out three wins against the Denver Broncos, an injured Denver Broncos team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who took them down to the wire, and then the Minnesota Vikings as well. I don't think the Steelers are a 3-0 team. I don't. The Texans defense, lots of holes. We saw that against the Baltimore Ravens. Their offensive line is not good. Also, then you see the Giants game where, yeah, you're supposed to beat the Giants, you know, you're supposed to do that. The Giants aren't that good this year, unfortunately. And then in week two, with the game against a really, again, beat-up Denver Broncos team where Jeff Driscoll took them right down to the wire. And then finally, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, look, give credit to the Steelers, the Browns, the Titans. You're supposed to beat bad teams. You're supposed to beat the teams that you're scheduled to beat that are worse than you. That's what they've been doing. The Browns get a Washington football team that has a young quarterback. You know, Chase Young exits that game early. But they also played a Cincinnati Bengals team who, again, that offensive line is just in shambles. So I don't really see where the value in a win is for them until they get a few more, you know, heavyweight opponents under their belt as victories. And we saw when they played the Ravens in week one, they did not fare very well. So we'll see what happens with these teams. I mean, obviously, they're doing the right things right now. You're, again, supposed to win the games. I'm not taking anything away from them. I just personally do not think that they're as good as their records indicate right now. And as we kind of have seen, they've been in some tight games until pulling away late, so we'll see what happens in the end for those teams. But for right now, the Ravens sitting at 2-0, they can reclaim a tie for the AFC North lead with the Pittsburgh Steelers if they get this win tonight against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Browns will be sitting in third place at 2-1 regardless, because even if the Ravens do lose, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker, and then the Bengals with that really funky record of 0-2-1. So the Ravens have a big game with the Chiefs tonight. Hopefully they can pull it out, and of course we will be back here tomorrow with all of the post-game coverage. We'll have our recap episode out 6 a.m. tomorrow, so be sure you're tuned in for that. That's all we have here today. Good luck to the Ravens tonight. Hopefully you'll be watching it, and hopefully we'll all be watching the Ravens get a victory. Stay locked on here on Locked On Ravens for our shows throughout the rest of the week, and I will see you tomorrow.